Hello, hello, hello. Welcome into episode 4 of the G Squared Unfiltered podcast, where I am co-host Garrett.
And Garrett. Well, 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 we've made it here.
Yep.
One more weekend.
Yep, Mavs are in the finals.
Mm-hmm. Stars got sent home.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
But the Mavs are in the finals.
Yeah, and that's... That's the good one right there.
Yep, so that's
at least at least one of them made it to the conference or the NBA or the finals.
Hey, it was a good ride for both. We had a lot of ups and downs and exciting moments for both teams.
Yeah. Stars losing that game was a game 4 where they went up 2-0 and then lost. I just feel like they never really got any momentum after that.
Yep, and as I said on the last pod, I was boots on the ground for game 5 and we did not look like we even played hockey the entire game.
Yeah.
We got destroyed in game 5.
Yeah, it was very demoralizing. Back-to-back years losing the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, it's very, very demoralizing.
And also in game 6 when they outshot them like 40-8 or something like that.
40 shots on goal and 1 goal.
Yeah, that was...
That's insane.
That was a rough one.
I feel like you should at least have 4 or 5 goals. Like, that's terrible. 40 shots on goal, that's good. 1 goal is terrible.
But in higher spirits, the Mavs.
Mm-hmm. The Mavs. We made it, and now we got 4 more to win. Which I think everybody in the world is probably picking the Celtics to win.
Not me.
Well, and I saw Draymond, doesn't.
Yeah, I actually think the Mavs have a good shot.
Me too.
Anytime you got Luka on your team.
Luka and Kyrie. And we played some damn good defense. We're out there.
It's also crazy. Like,
ready to play. We got a bunch
obviously,
of dogs.
Hopefully, Lively is 100%, which is just crazy to think that you really need a 20-year-old rookie to be top notch. But I think he'll be ready.
Yeah, he's insane. He is such a good rookie. He's so good. He knows his role, and the best part is whenever they blitz Luka off a pick and roll. Two defenders blitz him and try to get the ball out of his hands. He passes to Lively, and Lively makes the best decision every single time. It is awesome. He's such a good passer for a big man. And he knows his role. Dunk on everybody.
Lob threat. Lob threat.
Don't lose the ball. Make the right pass and dunk on people and get some rebounds. That's all you got to do. Be successful.
Yeah.
Obviously easier said than done.
But hopefully they're ready to go tomorrow night.
He does a pretty damn good job of it. Yeah, I hope they come out firing for game 1 and set the tone. That would be awesome. The Celtics struggle at their house. It's been their thing throughout the season.
Yeah, and I think it's become quite evident that Luka loves going into your arena on the road and just demoralizing you.
That would be a game 1 win would be so sick for the Mavs. It would be great for the fans. It'd be great for us. Just set the tone, go up 1 game, and let's see what happens in game 2.
Yeah, steal one on the road.
Yeah, that'd be sick if we steal one on the road. We just set the tone. That'd be awesome if we did what we did to the Timberwolves and go out. What, we win the first 2 games in Minnesota? Win the first 2 games
home.
In Boston?
Yeah, and then came home and won game 3.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome.
That would be sick. I would be the happiest man on the planet if that happened.
I do think the Mavs have the best player in the series, which will always help out, but I don't know if it's just because I'm a homer, but I believe Luka is better than Jason Tatum.
I would hope that most people believe Luka is better than Jason Tatum.
Especially because, like, Tatum didn't even win. Like, that is the one thing. Like, Tatum has a better, like, kind of team around him, I would say, that, like, he could disappear in the Eastern Conference Finals and they still won.
Yeah, I think that if you just take, you could say, hypothetical, but if you put Luka on that Celtics team, they are unreal.
Yeah.
They are unreal. They would definitely, the Celtics won most of their games in the playoffs. Like, most of their games by far in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and but I think if Luka's on that team, a lot of them were close games. If Luka's on that team, they're beating people by 20, 30.
Yeah, and like they have the ability to go through the Eastern Conference Finals or Eastern Conference and win without with Tatum being able to disappear and all that. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be able to do that against the Mavs, so he's going to have to come ready to go.
Yeah.
I know Luka's going to come ready to go, and the Luka-Kyrie dynamic mm-hmm. is so much fun to watch. It's, for the most part, it was Luka, you know, taking over for the first half and then the third mm-hmm. quarter, and then Kyrie turned it on in the fourth quarter, and then game one in Minnesota, they flipped it, and Kyrie just came out guns blazing. Like, watching them two play together is so much fun, and it makes the closing stretch of games not as worrisome because you got two guys that can close it out.
Yeah, when we're in close games or we're down by two or up by two or tied, like within 5 minutes of the game being over, I am so confident that
yeah.
we're going to win the game.
And I remember like in years past when they'd be down five with 2 minutes mm-hmm. or 3 minutes to go, it's just like, oh man, they don't really have a shot, it feels like. And now it's like, oh, we got them right where we want them.
Like, a big part of it is Luka and Curry, but it's also the defense. Like, the past couple of years, we couldn't play defense to save our lives, and they would just get offensive rebounds or whatever, that get straight buckets on us in the last 5 minutes. But now we can play some defense to the point where you can let Kyrie and Luka kind of work on the offensive side, kind of get their thing going in the last 5 minutes and close it out.
Yeah, the defense this year has been something I didn't mm-hmm. really expect it to be flip a switch and turned on like it has been.
Number one defense in the league the last month of basketball.
Yep.
So that's big for the Mavs. And we finally got two, and we can actually rebound the ball now. We out-rebounded a lot of teams. Hell, we were out-rebounding the Minnesota Timberwolves. Everybody was talking about their 3-7-footers.
Yeah.
We were out-rebounding them.
And I know Porzingis is very tall, but I don't really consider him like a big man. Like, he's more the modern day big man where he hates contact and all this shit. Like, I expect us to be able to out rebound them.
Yeah, we gotta work Porzingis in the pick and roll. Just get him on Luka, and you know it's over after that. Or Kyrie, for that matter, can just run straight past him. He's probably about as slower than Rudy Gobert is. And we saw what happens when he gets the pick and roll.
We saw them cook him.
It's a 4-on-5, basically. When he's out there in the pick and roll, stranded on an island, it's 4-on-5, dude. I'm hoping it's the same thing for Porzingis. I think it'll be. But, I mean, you never know. But I think Derek, like, we can work them hard in the pick and roll, because if we're able to pull Porzingis out to the perimeter, and Jason Tatum or somebody else is on Lively, oh, that's a alley-oop just waiting to happen right there.
Yeah, it is.
That's 100% field goal percentage right there.
I'm so ready for mm-hmm. tomorrow night to get it started.
I know. Me too. Tomorrow night is going to be freaking awesome.
And I hate the way the NBA schedules are. They're just a freaking week off between the games. Like,
it sucks, but it's beneficial for us.
Yeah, it has been beneficial that Luka can mm-hmm. get somewhat healthy.
I saw them doing like their shoot around today, and somebody said something in the comments that reminded me. They don't put the trophy on the court anymore for the finals games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like we're watching them growing up, it was a lot cooler. Like, yeah. Do they still have it on the jersey?
I think so, but it's not on the court anymore, which I think is kind of lame.
Yeah.
I think it's been that way for a while, but I didn't really notice
it. Fully paid attention to it. Yeah.
Because I do remember, like, watching old clips of finals games. Like, you see the trophy on the court. Yeah. And it's pretty cool looking.
I think when the Mavs had it into their logo on center mm-hmm. court, I think.
Yeah.
When they won in 11.
Mm-hmm. I hope they do something for that. So that's kind of lame.
Yeah, they need to bring it back.
We're playing for a freaking championship, baby.
Adam Silver needs to get his shit together.
Yeah. It's NBA Finals. Let's be professional here.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Entertainment for the fans. But yeah, I mean, tomorrow night, very, very, very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
What are your expectations for the first two games up in Boston?
I think the Mavs come out firing, and I think that we take game one, and then I think game two is a grind.
Yeah, I think that they will win one of the games up mm-hmm. in Boston, which will obviously be huge. Mm-hmm. But I think in the event that they don't, like if they go 0-2 in Boston, like the series will not be over. Like, it's not like they have to win one of these first two. Mm-hmm. I do think they will, mm-hmm. but in the event they don't, I still think that there's a good chance that they can win the series.
I've watched the Mavs series line just go against them. People keep seeming
Yeah.
to take the Celtics, but I mean, I don't know, man. Something's magical about this Mavs team. They play as a
And
team.
they're so fun to
They're
watch.
so fun to watch. They got a bunch of dogs on the team, and they play as a family, and they play for each other, and they freaking
Yeah.
get buckets.
And I think it's gonna like I feel like there's a pretty good amount of like storyline kind of things. Like obviously Luka's going for his first one. Kyrie's going back to Boston, like they hate him there. And then Tatum, what, there's a third trip to the finals. Like, is he ever gonna finally get one? Also, like I know Kyrie is hated in Boston and I understand it, but like Porzingis is like hated in Dallas too. Especially like he came out and said that like in that playoff run that he had like kind of given up. Like Luka took Boban and what Willie Cauley-Stein was like, all right, you two fuckers, get on my back. Let's see how far we can go.
Hey, don't disrespect the boy Boban like
I
that.
love Boban, but I'm just saying, like,
Boban's the truth.
and then obviously Kyrie wants to go in there and silence it and show, hey, I can win without LeBron as well.
I just we got some there's something cool badass about this team, and I mean the Celtics have really good defenders. They could switch everything, but you can't switch against the Mavs. That's the one
Yeah.
thing LeBron said in his podcast the other day, that like you can't switch against the Mavs. There's always a lob threat.
Yeah.
Always.
And another I PJ Washington's got to be able to hit the shots. Like he's hit some big ones in the fourth quarter, but like he's got to hit them in the first, second
We need
quarter.
an
Like
OKC
he
Thunder
needs,
series, PJ
yeah.
Washington
He
back.
needs like an open one in the beginning of the game, just like get going, get feeling it. 'Cause your role players on the road, they always normally play a little bit worse. And then also, with it being the finals, I feel like he's gonna be a little like timid. He needs something to just get him going to where it's like, hey, this is just basketball I've been doing it my whole life.
Is this the series where Hardy's going to figure it out? He started to figure it
Yeah,
out at the end of
he
last
played
year.
well, and I think if he does start to or continue to play well, I think his minutes are gonna go up even more.
I went from when he started getting minutes in the playoffs in the OKC Thunder series from saying, get Hardy off the
Yeah.
floor.
Yeah, every time
Get
he was
Hardy
in, I would
off the
get a text.
floor.
Get him
Get
off the floor.
look. Yep.
To now it's like, hey, I don't
Hey.
mind him being on the
Man, this
floor.
guy plays pretty good one-on-one defense, and he can get some bucket. He can create his own shot on the other end,
Yeah.
which is like nobody else on the team besides Kyrie and Luka can do that. I guess, I mean, PJ Washington's not creating his own shot, but he can
Yeah.
create his own driving lane to the hoop. But Hardy can create his own shot, which is, I mean, Timmy, I guess. But you
Oh.
go ahead and you got a 25% chance that thing's
Yeah.
going in.
When Timmy's on the court, he's got to hit one of his first couple shots because if he's not making them and he's off, all he's going to do is try and shoot his way out of it.
But I think Jason Kidd has learned that because Timmy only was a couple of the games. He only played like 10 to 15
Yeah.
minutes, like just
But I do
quick in
love
and
his
out.
confidence, like that, oh, every shot I shoot can go in. But when you're not making it, like, motherfucker, make some passes or something. Like,
But it would be nice if he caught fire a couple games this series.
yeah.
Whenever he gets hot off the bench, it's real nice because it's like 15 points in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like an avalanche of just him chucking up shots and then falling in. But when
And
it's going,
that's when the 5-6 point lead gets extended to 13,
yeah,
14.
exactly. We need those guys. We're gonna need everybody for this team. Kyrie's gonna get some buckets on him though.
Yeah, he's
He's
gonna be ready to go tomorrow night. And Luka, I hope the crowd starts chirping Luka or something so he can just really get in his mode where he the killer comes out of him.
They're showing Kyrie highlights on the TV right now, and one thing that's sticking out is how well he gets to the rim on the Celtics. If Porzingis gets pulled out to the perimeter, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are not stepping up
Yeah.
to
Like
stop
I don't think they
Kyrie.
have a real like rim protector. Like I know Porzingis 6'4" and he alters shots, but like
He's a shot blocker. He's not a
he doesn't
protector.
put fear into it like other people.
Obviously, if you try to shoot over him one on one straight up, he's probably going to block your shot. But if you got to
Yeah.
put him in a moving situation, like you're pretty. If he's got to move from point A to point B, he's not doing it very quickly, and you can get a
Yeah.
lot of stuff done within that time frame.
Like, who are their other notable big men? Do they even have any? Al Horford, but he's not a rim protector. He's good player. I can't stand the way he shoots the basketball, but it goes in. He's clutch.
Yeah, I can't stand the way he shoots either, but it's Hoffman.
Yeah.
Al Horford.
I mean, I like him, and he's fun.
Yeah, he's been a damn good above average, a damn good role player for his career.
Yeah, and even those couple years in the Hawks, like, he was really good.
Yeah, he was really good.
But he doesn't scare you when you're taking the ball to the paint.
Al Horford. Yeah, he's awesome.
But watching his... You know who else has a funny shot? Fuck, we just played him.
Kyle Anderson,
yes,
slow-mo?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, but that thing goes in if he gets it off. Yeah. He is automatic. That guy does not
I remember
miss.
Watching him with the Spurs, and I was like, this guy just moves in slow motion.
That's his nickname, slow-mo.
And then I was watching game one of the Western Conference Finals against the Timberwolves with my brother, and he took a shot, and my brother was like, what the fuck? I thought he was joking. That's how he shoots? I was like, yeah, I know, it's wild.
It's slow-mo, yeah. I don't know, but he, dude, from the mid-range, that thing is going in. He's like Sean Livingston, how Sean Livingston was. Bro, he does the same thing. Like, when against the Mavs, if he got the ball in the paint and he did his little, where steps off one leg and just does the slow motion, I'm like, that thing's going in. Like,
it kind of, like, the shots are completely different, but it just reminds me in my head of what Sean Marion.
Yeah.
Because, like, you are a fucking millionaire. You're playing basketball for a living, and that's the shot you got? Like, I know it goes in, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but it's like, holy shit. That's the shot you got?
Nothing's better than how Michael Kidd-Gilchrist shot. He didn't know how to shoot.
Oh,
he
yeah.
came in the league, so he shot with his hand sideways on the ball.
Even Lonzo, he hasn't played in a while,
Lonzo,
but he's got a crazy shot.
Yeah. He adjusted a little bit.
Yeah.
He had to. He was one of the few that actually was able to.
Is he ever even going to play again?
I don't think so. He opted into his deal next year, but why not?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have another choice.
Sit on
isn't it like he fucked up his feet or something like that? Like, was it actually his shoe brand, the Big Baller brand, that, like, fucked up his career? Because that'd be kind of funny about how crazy LeVar Ball was, and then he just is the reason his son can't play basketball anymore.
I'm not sure if it's actually that, because I don't know how many times they actually wore that shoe.
Yeah.
Like, in the game. Because I remember when he was wearing it, he'd have to change the shoes all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long he actually...
I will say I miss seeing LeVar Ball. Him.
Oh, me too.
You know, at the time, I wasn't a big fan of it. I was, like, at first I was, and I was like, all right, this is kind of annoying. But now that we don't get any more LeVar Ball, I miss LeVar Ball.
Hell, I mean, yeah, you probably don't hear from him because LaMelo's in Charlotte. Lonzo doesn't play anymore. Who the hell knows where LeAngelo is? Yeah, just probably on an island somewhere right now.
Wishing he was as good as
LaMelo plays for Charlotte and doesn't even play like 90% of the time.
Yeah, well, isn't he hurt too?
Yeah, he's hurt. He didn't play most of the season. But I don't know if LaMelo ever figures out.
Charlotte, that's got to be one of the worst places to get drafted to. Like, I mean, it's probably a nice area, but like, the team just always sucks. They don't care about winning. Like,
no, not at all. They got Brandon Miller, though. He looked pretty good this year.
Yeah.
He was third in the rookie of the year. He looked actually really good at some points. Pretty sure he averaged like 17 or 18 points, which is good. For a rookie, really good.
One thing you know about him, he's always down to shoot.
Yeah.
On the court, off the court, doesn't really matter.
He can get some buckets. He's got the mid-range on lock.
Yeah. Do they have anyone else exciting there?
You could say Miles Bridges, but he's dealing with his own off-the-court problems of hitting women. So
they got a lot of problems out in Charlotte.
Well, no wonder. That's why they don't win.
Yeah.
Too busy doing random crap off the court. What do you know? You can't figure it out on the court.
Yeah.
I guess Mark Williams, he's been pretty solid for them. I don't know if he played for, I think Duke, I believe. But he's been pretty solid. He's like a walking double-double, one of those centers that gets you like 10, 12, and 10 rebounds.
Those are always good to have.
I think that he was, I don't know if he was injured. I think he was injured this season too, but he played a little bit. But yeah, I think he's pretty, I mean, they got some young players in the squad, but they probably need some vets to like, get the crap out of their young
Yeah, but what all vets these days are ring chasers.
Yeah,
so.
They don't want to go to Charlotte and deal with that unless they get paid a good amount of money to do that.
All right, well, to reel it back in with some Mavs, I got them winning at least one game in Boston. I think it's going to be game
the
one.
First two?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
I also I think it's game one. I really do. I think we Like, we got some dogs. So we definitely will want to come out, like, firing, like, set the tone. I think how
Yeah.
we did against the T-Wolves, set the tone. Then game two, like, the T-Wolves, we were very close, and Luka makes the game-winning shot. I think that's
That
how
was a
it's going to be.
beautiful. That was a beautiful shot.
We come out, win game one, and then game two is a close one, and maybe we need some Luka magic to pull it out.
Yeah, which we definitely do have. But
I think
segueing
that's.
into something else, how you feel about CeeDee Lamb not showing up to Cowboy minicamp? Just a selfish little Sooner that he is. Doesn't care about his team. Never has cared about his team. He's just a me first kind of guy. Saying I'm not going out on the field. That 17 million I get isn't good enough. Did they teach him that, Norman, or did he just pick that up on his own?
I'm just trying to figure out if there's a Longhorn player that's even as good as CD that would even be able to sit out for that kind of deal.
They're coming.
I don't even have an example to show you because nobody's
I
that good.
would say we got players that are good.
Yeah, Bijan maybe will probably
Yeah,
will be that
but
good.
just year two, you're not gonna sit out.
Yeah, exactly. So wait a little bit, buddy, and then I can come back and talk about that selfish little Longhorn on that team that doesn't
Nope.
care about his team. He
Longhorns
only
care
cares
about
about
their
mine.
team. That's how it is.
That's just
OU,
how.
so they're just selfish little pricks.
Well, I'm thinking that my thought behind it is even Marvin Harrison was going through a battle with, what was it, Fanatics?
Yeah.
See? He's a rookie.
Yeah. I
It's
feel like
just a
that was more
receiver
like
thing.
NIL
Ayuk said
thing.
no. It's a
Yeah.
receiver thing. It's also rookie mandatory minicamp. Or, I mean, not rookie. It's
It's
also
just,
mandatory minicamp, and I feel like nobody really knows.
yeah, that's like, I honestly don't care that he's not practicing right now. The season doesn't start for fucking 5 more months.
Dak would probably be sitting out right now if his starting job wasn't on the ropes.
His starting job is not on the
It
ropes.
is.
To who? Trey Lance?
No, it's not on the ropes, but I mean, they didn't extend him for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not, okay, yes,
I
it's not on
mean,
the ropes, but his seat is a tad bit warm. You didn't get extended when you were in the. The only way the Cowboys could have made offseason moves this season is if they extended Dak, and they did not do it.
yeah, but knowing like how much Jerry Jones sucks at his job and all this
You think
stuff,
it was
like,
just
no,
malpractice?
I think that Dak's gonna go out and have a good year. Like, I mean, he's still a good quarterback,
Yeah.
and he's gonna go do something good to where then next offseason Jerry's gonna have to pay him even more money than he would have had to this year. Because that's just how things work for the Cowboys.
Really? I
And
mean, we didn't make any.
as a Cowboy watcher, not really a Cowboy fan, it's kind of funny to
We
watch.
didn't
Like,
make any off-season additions. I just don't. I mean,
after Jerry saying they were going all in this offseason, by the way.
I mean, that was hilarious. We did not move, do anything, anything, at all, anything. But I don't know. Dak's seat's a little bit warm. If they lose in the first round again, I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do, but it's going to be interesting to
That's what, like,
see.
I could see them losing in the first round, but it's like, what quarter, I guess, I don't know what quarterbacks are up next year for contracts, but I just feel like the odds of you actually getting somebody better than him are not very high.
I mean, I don't think so either, but what do? Just sit there and keep losing
I
in the
guess
first round?
maybe they bring Russell Wilson in.
Oh, God. Yeah, where we get Justin Fields.
Yeah. I feel like there's a higher chance that they would let Wilson walk on Fields, but
100%. I don't know. They're both on the same team. They got some
yeah.
figuring out to do
And like
themselves.
they went about it well. Like they got Russell Wilson for a fucking steal. They're not paying him shit.
And they got
It
Justin Fields for a steal, too.
yeah.
Yeah, they got them for a steal.
I guess it's probably nice to have a competent GM.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of just stuck in the place that I think is where I consider it the hell zone for all teams throughout any sport. Good enough to make the playoffs, not good enough to do anything, so you just sit there for the
Yeah.
next 10 years.
And like you can get good players in the draft being around there, like at some positions, but you'll never get a good core unless you just like stumble upon one. Like I know Dak was a 4th round pick, but it's just like the odds of you stumbling upon a good quarterback in the like 20th overall pick range is just not very high.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the hell zone. At least if you're rebuilding, you have a chance. You get to look forward to the future and be
Yeah.
optimistic. And if you're a title contender, obviously you're happy. But That's kind of between that. That
I feel like the Spurs, the Spurs were there for a while, obviously before they got Wembanyama, but like they were just like in that tween zone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of franchises that just live in that zone.
I know,
and that's got to be horrible.
Yeah,
especially if you're a franchise that lives in that zone and you and you've never won it, like
the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, they have top picks sometimes. They just don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, but when Kimba was on there, they would be like the 8th seed, 7th seed, and then they'd lose first round, and then that's where they would just stay. And now they're screwed. But, yeah. Yeah, I think the Cowboys are in that zone right now. And they have – the worst part about being in that zone for the Cowboys is they don't have any money to change if they're in that zone.
And, like, also there's
all
their
players have so much money.
Like,
on their
yeah, they dominated the 90s, but, like, there's a whole new generation. Like, our generation does not know the Cowboys is winning. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't won since we've been alive.
Yeah. They're embarrassing compared to the rest of the franchises we got around here.
Yeah, and the one of the common themes is the other franchises have a good GM. Like, if Jerry just would look at the – I feel like he's got too many yes men around him. Like, someone just needs to tell him that, hey, you're just a dumb fuck from Arkansas. Like, you don't really know football. You just have money. So, like, maybe hire somebody that does know football.
Mm-hmm.
Because his sons are never going to tell him that. And I feel like a lot of people in the Cowboy front office won't tell him that. But somebody needs to get it through his head.
Yeah, somebody needs to get it through his head some badly, but I don't know. We're just sitting here and we're in that little zone right now where we're just good enough to make the playoffs, not good enough to win it all, not bad enough to have a high draft pick and try to turn anything around.
Yeah.
It's just
and it's like
a terrible
even
zone.
The Cowboys could start out 8-0, 9-0, 10-0 next year, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was so like, they're not going to win it all. Like I feel like to me, it's well, I'm also not a diehard Cowboy fan. I just watch them to like watch them, but I just don't think that until they actually did it or do it, then I'm not ever gonna believe it type thing.
Yeah, I'm not ever gonna believe it either. Part of me wants to think that do they just keep Dak for the remainder of his contract? And I mean I don't think the quarterback is the quarterback class next year supposed to be any good.
No, it's supposed to suck, but the greatest quarterback of our lifetime is going to come out in it.
Yeah, I figured it was supposed to suck. What is it? Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders.
Quinn!
Yeah, I don't even
Don't be saying fucking Shedeur Sanders before Quinn.
I don't want to say
whoever drafts Shedeur.
I don't want to say Quinn at all.
Whoever drafts Shedeur is just, they're going to be in for hell.
Quinn's got to make some improvements before I start believing in him.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. He's got to figure out his feet work in the pocket.
I mean, he's a really good, like, he's really good in Sark's system, but I don't know, I gotta see him, like, off schedule.
He's like a hell of a 7-on-7 type of quarterback,
exactly.
Like, when he's not worried about people coming at him,
because
he can make every throw.
Yeah, he can. But I just feel like Sark breaks it down for, like, the easy throws.
Feet work looks like shit again this year, I'm gonna be so mad. Like, that's the one thing I've wanted him to fix since he first started 2 years ago.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I don't know. The quarterback class next year doesn't look very good, but maybe the Cowboys take one in the first round and just have him sit on the bench for 2 years.
That's what I think that they should have drafted Spencer Rattler.
Really?
Like
just in the later rounds?
Yeah, like, just because like he went so late. Like, what? Just take a flyer on him. Like, he can make all the throws. I do think he was a piece of shit. Like, that Netflix series obviously did him no favors. And he probably did have a big ego and was a piece of shit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he has kind of changed. I think going to South Carolina was probably one of the better decisions he ever made, like growing up, like maturing. But I think that it would have been worth a flyer on him. Because I still think he is a good quarterback. He can make the throws. He is only like 6 foot tall, so that's kind of a knock on him. But
yeah. I mean, he's got a cannon for an arm. He makes stupid mistakes sometimes and throws interceptions.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's
people.
Not like I got any. Like,
thing.
I don't think Trey Lance is anything worth a shit. Like,
neither do I. I don't think anybody knows now.
And also, like, didn't they trade like a third round pick or like second round pick for him? Like,
yeah, I think it was a third.
It was either a third or a fourth, I think. Mm-hmm. But like, that was a terrible decision. Like, see, you need someone with competence in the front office to be like, hey, let's not do that. Like,
I don't know. Nobody knows if Trey Lance is good or not. I guess we'll see. I don't know. I would like to see him try to get, maybe if, I don't know, if Dak has to miss a game or two, it'd be nice to see what he looks like, just to have a sample, a nice little sample size of what he can do. But
I don't think he can do anything.
I mean, neither do I, but he was talented when he was drafted.
Was he really, though?
I don't know. He's big. He can run around. He's got a cannon.
But he also, like, it's not like he ever played any of the big schools. Like, I know you...
Well, I was just talking about, like,
you can find talent from everywhere,
like,
but...
Strictly, like, athletic talent.
Well, yeah.
But, obviously, being a quarterback is a lot more than that. Otherwise, everybody... I mean, I guess a lot of people could be an NFL quarterback. You could run fast and throw far. But...
And occasionally read a defense.
Yeah. But... I don't know. The Cowboys are screwed at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
They suck. They're nothing like the Mavs. The Mavs are going to come out hot tomorrow night. And then the Sooners are going to win tonight. And the Mavs are going to win tomorrow night.
No. Nope.
My life is going to be
so good. Longhorns are winning game one of the Women's College World Series tonight. It's kind of a must-win game for us, I won't lie.
Yeah.
Also, Patty Gasso saying that they are the underdog was the biggest bullshit I have heard in my life.
We're number two.
Okay, so, like, you had a better record than us this year, like, and y'all have won three straight national titles. And what world? That'd be like, that's like in 2022 when Kirby was like, oh, we're the underdogs. No one expected us to be here. Like, shut the fuck up. The entire world expected you to be here.
Okay, but we didn't expect to be here. That's a little bit different than saying you're in the underdog.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of the same thing, in my opinion.
No, because Texas is like beat us in the regular season, and it's like, yeah, we expected to make it to the national championship, but we also expected Texas to make it there.
Yeah, like, I think both teams expected to be here, but to say that, like, y'all are the underdogs is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, but I don't know. We're going to beat y'all's ass tonight.
Nope.
Catch a game one dub. We're going to win it with, hopefully, Kelly Maxwell doesn't pitch tonight. And then we'll come back for game two with Kelly Maxwell and win.
That's why, whether she pitches tonight or not, like, this is the biggest must-win game of our season, I feel like. Because if she does pitch tonight, like, she just threw 150 pitches yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got it. You have to win game one as a Longhorn.
Yeah.
You got to rest yesterday. And I like the fact that we had to go against Nyjah Kennedy, the girl from Stanford, who's, like, the best pitcher in college softball. So, like, the confidence has to be there. We just got to be able to do it. I also feel like whenever we see Oklahoma on the chest, we kind of get nervous. It's like, just play your game, play your brand of softball, and everything will work out.
Yeah. I mean, I get it from y'all's point of view. It's like when people played Alabama in their heyday with Saban, that
Yeah.
They'd be defeated before they even walked in
the
stadium.
Like, it's like a mental thing.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, obviously I've always hated OU, but I've kind of respected their softball team in the past just because, like, it brings eyeballs to the sport. Like, it's a fun sport to watch. But I cannot stand y'all fucking bat flipping, chunking bats on a walk, like, doing jumping jacks up and down the first base line. Like, it is a walk. You didn't hit the ball 800 feet. Go to first base like a normal fucking
person. To celebrate.
Yeah, and, like, you can give a let, but, like, literally slamming your bat on the ground and doing, like, jumping jacks on your way to first base because you're so excited. It's like, what the hell are we doing here?
But we're excited. We're about to score a run on Texas.
They do it to every team.
I know we do it to every team. Yeah, we do it even against the small teams, like when we play at the beginning of the season.
That's what, like, I just don't understand that aspect of it. Like it's a walk. You can be excited for a walk. Like, I've seen people be excited for a walk. I've never seen someone slam their bat down.
We're really loud. You can hear us, like, cheering all
And time. I think that part of that, too, is like a psychological thing. Like, they're trying to psych out the other team.
They've done that every single year since I started watching the year before Jada Coleman went there. But when Jada Coleman went there especially, that's when their freshman year when they were going nuts on every single play. Like, every single play they go nuts on.
And it is cool. Like, yeah, you should be hyped. It's, like, your sport. Like,
yeah.
But, like, just to the extent that they do it at is started to annoy me.
Yeah, I feel like it's especially annoying, like, if you're obviously, like, in the situation Texas is in.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm always looking for a way to hate OU, so they do make that part easier.
I remember, like, when we played Florida State, like, their fan base on Twitter was just, they hated that we celebrated every single
Yeah, like, I was under, like, I feel like this women's college World Series, like, I don't know if it's just because I follow more people of softball, or, like, I've seen more, but, like, so many fan bases have been like, what the hell are they doing? Like, and I'm like glad, I'm finally glad that other people are seeing it.
Yeah. Well, we like to have fun.
Yeah.
Sorry you hate fun.
I don't hate fun.
This guy hates fun.
I hate OU.
This guy hates fun. And he's sitting here with his Texas fight hat.
Yep.
About to see a team with no fight in them tonight.
Oh, I mean, if they don't have fight, if they look like Game 5 in Dallas of the Stars, then I will be very upset.
Yeah, it was fun, but it was not worth the money after we didn't even have any. So if you want to go to games and your team loses, it's fine. They play it close. Oh, it's not fine.
I don't agree
it's
with
not,
that.
Well, no, it's not.
But okay. Also just because most games I go to are Longhorn games, like of any sport, and the one thing I care about more than anything in life is the Longhorns. And let me tell you, when they lose, it is not fine.
I'm not saying it's fine when they lose.
There's nothing fine about that.
I'm saying if I spend the money for a ticket, and
you expect their best.
I expect it to be at least a dog fight. Like,
yeah.
Not. I mean, I would much rather my team just smoke them and me be happy the whole time. But if it's a dog fight to the end and I pay the money and I'm entertained, that's good. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, as a guy who's been in both those situations, because like, I've been to games where they've been in dog fights. Yeah. I was also at a game where we beat our arch rival 49 to nothing and just, you know, knocked the piss out of them. That was maybe one of my favorite games ever.
Yeah,
I had a smile on my face the entire game.
I know. I'm sure you did.
I'm sure you did, too.
No,
you loved it.
Turned it off after the first quarter. But...
Well, I'll never forget that day.
Yeah, I'm obviously not fine if my team loses. I'm not fine if my team loses. I'm sitting on my couch.
Yeah.
But if I'm spending the money to go to the game, at least I'd like to see at least a dog fight. But that Stars game was just a murder. We were killed as soon as the puck dropped. We just got destroyed.
You know who else is getting murdered out there?
Who?
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah,
the WNBA needs to do something about it. Like, just the blatant cheap shots that she is taking is absolutely ridiculous.
Completely away from the ball.
Yeah.
Too.
Like, if it's a basketball play and you're going to, you know, foul them hard
and do
like,
a hard foul.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's
it's
fine.
Basketball. We get
but,
it. You're trying to set a point.
But yeah. And I feel like even all the, like, Angel Reese, I can't stand her. Not a fan of her. But like, like a week before that, like what? So like a week and a half ago, like she got clotheslined. But the one thing, like she got clotheslined and then her teammates immediately had her back. Caitlin Clark gets thrown to the ground and her teammates are nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
That's where the real problem is. Like, if your own teammates aren't going to stand up for you, then like, what the fuck? She should just say, fuck you guys. I'm going to the big three then. Like, y'all can go back to taking fucking regular planes.
They need some dogs on that team where they're going to fight for.
You know what else they need is a new head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Their coach, I don't even know her name, but I've been watching some of their games. She sucks.
I mean, they're going to get another top pick this year. I wonder if there's anybody in women's basketball that's, like, amazing.
Yeah. Paige Buckets is coming out, but but I think the Washington Mystics are winless, so, like,
they've got
her in the bag as of right now. And I don't know if that – I mean, there will obviously be other ones that come up, but the USC girl who's a freshman last year, I don't think she's going to be old enough to be draft eligible.
Yeah, but she's cool, too. What's her name? Juju Watkins?
Yeah.
That's her name. Yeah.
I mean, Caitlin Clark has been struggling, but, like, the people, like, the talking heads that don't think that she's – or, like, the older WNBA girls are like, oh, well, like, we've been doing this for a while. Like, the reason why everyone gravitated to Caitlin Clark is because when you turn on a game, she looks like Steph Curry out there. Like, that's why people gravitated to Steph Curry. People love watching people shoot balls from the logo when they go in. Like, that is exciting to watch. Not some post play the way you – shoot a layup and hope it goes in. Like
that shooting like 25%.
I know.
Or something like that.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like she's gotta figure it out from out there and start playing better. But like that is why she has taken off and has gotten all this coverage, is because people enjoy watching that.
Yeah. That's just how, I mean, Caitlin Clark's just a polarizing player.
But like, yeah, her numbers do suck, but she's still like percentage wise, but she still is like whatever, 16, 17 a game, something like that. Like, she's still doing good. She just doesn't have good shooting percentage, which she needs to figure out. And early in the season, a lot of her turnovers came on her teammates just not being athletic enough to catch her passes.
She'll be all right. I mean, she's just got tons of hype because of who she is.
Ten years from now, when she's, you know, a lock to be in the Women's Hall of Fame or whatever, or like Basketball Hall of Fame, this will just be a little blimp in the radar. But yeah, right now, everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, she's going to put up buckets and have a great career.
Yeah, she's got to figure it out, settle in.
She'll be all right. It's her rookie season.
Yeah, like she's not the only rookie struggling, because Angel Reese is shooting like 30%. From the field, and all of her shots are within 5 feet of the basket. So.
I guess JJ Watt's playing soccer. Oh,
that's awesome. I would never stop JJ Watt on a soccer field.
You wouldn't let him slide tackle you?
No.
You wouldn't try to slide tackle him?
I would just get, like, I would be the one that got hurt. He would kick me as I missed, and then I would just take myself out. Those are some of the biggest thighs I think I've ever seen on a soccer player.
Well, yeah, that's usually you don't have defensive linemen guys running out there. That's freaking awesome. Imagine if all soccer players were just the size of D linemen.
That'd be scary. Like, did you ever see, like, it was probably when we were in high school or maybe even like middle school, like the video of Ndamukong Suh playing soccer growing up? Mm-hmm. And, like, he scored on a corner kick. Like, he just curved it in the goal. Could you imagine playing soccer against him? Oh, my God.
Like, I would definitely slide tackle you and tear your ACL.
Yeah, if me and him were jumping up for a header in the box, I would be dead. There's no – and he's not a gentle guy.
He would definitely not be a gentle guy at all. He would definitely – he'd be going for the person next to him more than the ball, to say the least. Yeah,
that's a man who loves contact.
He also loves kicking people in the
nuts. Yeah. Pretty dirty player. I don't need to give him any ammo.
Yeah, that guy would have a red card like one in every three games. He'd set the record for the most amount of red cards in a season.
Pull a Happy Gilmore?
Yep. He'd definitely pull a Happy Gilmore for sure. Hey, Dak's participating in Cowboys mandatory minicamp.
Probably because they didn't go to OU. I guess they teach team philosophies down on Mississippi State.
So Dak has the second highest cap hit in 2024 out of any player. How does that make you feel?
I mean, he's definitely not worth it, but I feel like the Joneses put themselves in this situation, because if they would have extended him last summer or the summer before that, then they could have stretched out the money. But now all the money is just now.
Mm-hmm. That's what we have to deal with.
Are they even going to be good this year? Like,
probably just good enough to barely make playoffs.
That's what, then, like, they're just going to be a wild card. I guess they could win the East, but the Eagles probably will. They're going to make the wild card and then just lose in the first round.
Yep.
That's what would piss you off more, that scenario, or they go undefeated and then lose? Because then they'd have the bye and then lose in their first round. The divisional round of the playoffs.
Man, you're at...
Because I've always thought that would be so funny.
You're asking somebody who's already thrown the season in the bag.
Because I was just like... Because all our friends, like... Or my friends, especially, like, massive Cowboy fans, like... And I don't care about them nearly as much as my other friends. Like, if they... I just want 1 year where they go undefeated in the regular season. And then lose in the divisional.
I mean, if you ask me about it in the season, yeah, I'll be hyped about the. I'll be into the Cowboys, but like, yeah. Also, I know that we're not good enough to win a title, and we're also not bad enough to be a terrible team to get a high draft pick. Like,
That's but, like, it's not that I'm, like, not necessarily a Cowboy fan. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, I'm just, like, a average viewer. Like, when they lose, it doesn't ruin my Sunday. When the Longhorns lose, it, like, ruins my week. Like,
I mean, yeah, I get pretty sad when the Cowboys lose, but, like...
See, I don't. I put so much into Saturdays that I can't...
Well, yeah.
I can't do that on Sundays.
If OU lose on Saturday, I don't care about anything. For a long time. Yeah. Like a couple days, at least.
It takes me till like, Thursday of the following week to be like, all right.
But I still, like, obviously, if the Cowboys lose, I'm not very happy. It just... But, obviously, if the Oklahoma lose, it's like I get shot in the heart.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, walking out of the Red River game last year, I was ready to kill an OU guy.
I bet.
And I really wanted to. He was like 5'5", kept talking shit.
You have to watch the greatest Red River rivalry drive of all time. You did. You did.
Just
because it wasn't your team.
I don't know.
What other drive have you had happen in 20 seconds to march its way down the field and win the game?
Yeah. Fucking prevent defense. The only thing it does is prevent your team from winning the game. It never fucking works.
I know.
Especially in college football when the clock stops on a first down.
And college football, like NFL, I feel like college football is so, like in those games, is so much based on momentum.
Yeah.
If you're in prevent defense, you're just getting nickel and dime down the field.
And you're getting hard. It to where they're picking up 12 yards at a time and the clock's stopping every single time because it's first down. Well, in the NFL, you can kind of get away with it because, yeah, you pick up 15 yards across the middle, but 10 seconds at least are coming off the clock from when you go down because the clock's not stopping.
Well, that and I feel like the players are just more like emotionally mature. Like when they get like a 12-yard pass on them in prevent defense in the NFL, they're like, oh, okay, well, let's stop this here. College, it just keeps happening. Like you just keep getting hammered all the way down the field.
Yeah, watching that was horrible. Really,
and it's like, what am I going to do now? I'm backed up on my own end zone. What am I going to do? Like NFL defense can hold their own end zone. In college, it's really hard, I feel like, to hold your own end zone in that situation.
Yeah. I saw some Longhorn fan on Twitter the other day. It was like, which game would you rather win if you could only win one next year?
Mm-hmm.
Like the OU one or the A&M one? And I honestly don't know if I've made up my answer yet. Like, it would probably, I mean, I guess for me speaking, it would probably have to be the OU one because I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
But if I was to go to both the games, it would have to be the A&M one.
Which one would you be more embarrassed by? Which loss would you be more embarrassed
A&M.
By? Okay.
That's because, like, I mean, I hate OU probably more than I hate A&M,
mm-hmm.
but I respect them as a school because, like, they are actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, losing to A&M sucks because it's, like, this school, this, like, they suck at everything.
Mm-hmm. And, like, at least, like, you can go back and forth with OU fans, like whatever.
A&M fans on Twitter are so annoying. So annoying.
I know.
That's how like one of the my favorite followers on Twitter is an OU fan. Like he's genuinely funny. Like
mm-hmm.
there's none of that at A&M.
What's that guy's name? That's the big A&M reporter.
Billy Lucci.
Yeah, that guy.
Lucci. I don't even know how to say his last name.
Lucci or something.
Yeah, That man, he just made a business because that school's a cult.
Yeah, exactly. Just talk about A&M and they'll start following you because they're a cult.
Yeah, he could be a bigger deal than David Koresh was. Like, he's got a bigger cult following than he did.
Hey, he knows how to get it done. He knows how to make some money, apparently.
Yeah.
Harness their cult-like fan base. And then just have a huge backing of idiots, and then you're good to go.
They're so annoying. I hate that school.
So when
and then every like 3 months, 4 months, you see some terrible thing that they like, some tradition that they do, and it's just like, why are these people like? How does anyone who didn't grow up being an Aggie fan go to that school?
I don't know.
Like, they just had to live in a cave or something. Like, I don't understand it.
I know. I told my brother if he goes to A&M, he's going to become a weirdo.
Yeah.
They all just become weirdos.
They have like this thing called fish camp before you even start as a freshman where you learn all the
traditions.
Like, yeah, and they're just like, that's where the brainwashing starts.
Fish camp.
Yeah.
You can go, you should go try to be a yell leader.
Oh my God. They need, and the fact that it's 2024 and they don't have cheerleaders. I don't know what's more crazy, the fact that they don't have cheerleaders or the fact that their like I would say 70% of their fan base still like would rather have the yell leaders than the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are we doing?
And the fact that they like stick up for the like, I would just be like, no, yeah. I don't want my
like that would just be them. Something to where like you just kind of got to take that lump and go with it.
Yeah, 100%. It seems like they just got to deal with it. I hate their stupid ooh
yeah
thing that they do. I don't like them.
All right, who do you have for your idiot of the week? Because I love mine.
I don't know who mine is. Who's yours? So I can think about it for a second.
Michael Kelly and I don't know how to say the Tuchman guy, Tucapita Marsana, the two of the baseball players that got suspended for betting on baseball.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Especially
that guy won 4% of his bets.
Yeah. The Marcano guy got suspended for life. Mm-hmm. Him and Pete Rose are the only ones that have ever got suspended for life.
Mm-hmm.
But he literally sucked at it.
Yeah.
He would bet on his own team, and he sucked at it. Like, that kind of makes bettors around the world feel better. Like, hey, I'm just, like, betting. I don't know the ins and outs of this team. I'm betting on it, and I'm not good. But there's a guy who is in that clubhouse every day, and he sucks dick at it.
What? How many total bets did he place? I know I saw the number somewhere.
Yeah, I saw. He bet more than 150,000.
Yeah, I think the number dollars. I saw was like 300 to 400 bets. And I feel like if you're winning 4% of your bets through like the first 30 or 40 bets, just chalk it, bro.
Yeah,
it's not for you.
He won 4.3 of all his MLB-related bets.
Yeah.
That is insane.
If you are losing that many bets out of your first like 20, 30, 40, then just chalk it, bro. Like, the thing's not for you. I mean, we both gave you locks of the week last week, and they didn't go through. But
387 baseball bets.
300, exactly. You feel like you should know through your first.
Like he's just like, all right, this one's the winner. This one's the winner. And also, like, how stupid are you? Like, this day and age with the technology, though, like, it's gonna come back to you. Like, there's no way it doesn't.
I don't know how you bet. I mean, obviously, he's well off because he played in the MLB. But if you...
Is he well off? Like, he's not really a big name.
That's a lot of
money. He's never going to get another big contract again. Like, I guess he might be able to go back, like, or I don't know where he's from, but, like, if he goes to, like, the Dominican or maybe if he can go to Japan or something, like, he could still make a living out of it, but not nearly like he would have if he just wasn't a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I know. And what they say, over $150,000?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, man. My idiot of the week, now that we're on that, is, I guess, Jonte Porter. I read that report that he'd lost so much money that the investigation concluded that he had to be throwing games.
Yeah.
Isn't that freaking nuts? I saw
someone on Twitter today say that Jonte Porter had a better field goal percentage than Angel Reese did, and Jonte Porter was trying to miss the shots. That is insane.
There's that one clip of like him, and he banks in a three.
Yeah, and he gets
like
mad.
30 feet away, and then his face, he just like stops smiling and just gets really mad. And then I saw another report by the same reporter that came out and said that he texted in his group message after like the initial news came out that he was being investigated about this whole situation. Apparently he texts in his group message, there might be a RICO coming, boys, or something like that. Imagine looking at your phone and you just first, like, you just wake up in the morning, first text like, message you read is RICO.
Like, if you're gonna do that and be that stupid, mm-hmm. at least do the Shohei Ohtani route to where it's like,
somebody
I'm
else.
Not the one fucking betting it. Like, yeah. I might be telling you what to bet and all this, but I'm not the one doing it. So then I can have plausible deniability. These dumbasses are, like, doing it all in their own name.
You just fire the guy, give him a lot of money under the table so he lives a nice life, and then move on. Then you still play.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Honestly, if it wasn't Shohei Ohtani, I don't know if he gets away that scot-free with it.
Yeah, but also I feel like they could have came down hard on it, like
yeah,
the government or something. Like they could have retracted his visa or some mm-hmm. shit. Like I don't know. Like yeah, it obviously does help when you're the face of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But and you know who else is probably loving this? The MLB, because now like Ohtani's isn't the.
Yeah, isn't the talk of the town.
Yeah, it's these other guys.
Like, I know, I'm sure
they did
love.
A pretty good job of sweeping that Ohtani shit under the rug.
Yeah, Jonte Porter came at the right time for them. Dante Porter came at the correct time, man. That guy's getting so
Because,
much
I mean,
news
like, there's
coverage.
no way Ohtani wasn't, even if he wasn't the one necessarily doing it, like, placing all of them, he definitely, like, had a say in some of them,
Yeah.
and he 1,000% knew what was going on.
Yeah, and I hope he won more than 4% of his bets. And I hope he
The only
wasn't
good thing
even
is
out there.
he has the better bankroll to where if he didn't, it was probably a little more okay.
Yeah, and I don't think Jonte, or at least Shohei Ohtani last year, was not throwing games like Jonte Porter was
Yeah.
because he was in so much debt.
But I'm also like, I think you should be able to bet on your team if you're betting on them to win.
Yeah, I do.
Like,
I
I feel like
think
that should be fine. And also, like, with this day and age with sports, like, they're all promoting all the different, like, casinos and, like, all this stuff. Like, if you're gonna go into it with that, then I don't see a problem. Like,
like boxing.
if Corey Seager bet on the Rangers to win tonight, I don't think that should be a problem. Like, if you're betting on them to lose, then
Yeah.
absolutely the hammer of Thor should come down on you. But if you're betting on them to win, I feel like that's
Well,
like,
in boxing, you're allowed to bet on yourself
yeah,
to win.
that's what I'm saying. Like, you should be able, like, if you're taking your team to win, you should want that, and like that would make sure that you're playing as hard as possible. Like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't see why you can't bet on yourself to win. Boxing can do it. There clearly there's not a problem with it. Floyd Mayweather has been doing it for the past 20 years. Or I guess maybe 25 years for him, but yeah, I don't know. You should be able to bet on yourself to win. Then you start doing some steroids and then you win. Juice yourself up a bit. Well, both of our locks of the week last week fell through.
Yeah, I knew OU was going to lose to a basketball school, but hand up, I didn't know it was going to be UConn. That's on me.
Yeah, I did not think we would lose to UConn either, but that's the way the ball rolled. And it's better to lose to UConn than lose to, who'd you guys lose to? And just say it for the people to hear it.
Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette ended our season, and they did it
Yeah,
in
I'm talking about
crazy fashion.
the
I mean, the way that we lost to A&M sucked. Like,
Yeah.
because they should have won that game. Shortstop had two errors in the eighth inning where they scored, and then just the disaster that happened at third base for that winning run and extra innings to come
Yeah.
in. But the next day when we were playing Lafayette, like, we give up a 3-run bomb in the ninth inning, I think it was. Get two more guys get on. David Pierce goes out there to talk to the pitcher. Next pitch, 400 feet. It's like, what the fuck were you guys just talking about? Also,
Yeah.
speaking of David Pierce, it's Wednesday now and he hasn't been fired yet. Not a fan. Not a fan. What
Yeah,
I
no,
really wanted to happen is Arkansas to really be up Dave Van Horn's ass. And then Dave Van Horn just called up Chris Del Conte and was like, hey, do you need a coach? I'll come
Did
coach.
Arkansas end up losing?
Yeah.
Did who won the pool of Texas's pool? Did Louisiana A&M?
A&M.
They beat Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah.
I
And
thought
now,
Louisiana
like,
Lafayette was actually pretty good.
what else sucks
Aren't they
is,
good?
like, because Oregon came out of that other bracket. So, like, now A&M gets to play Oregon. That's fucking.
It's
Are you kidding
wraps.
me? A&M's going to Omaha.
No.
But if Texas would have won that game, I mean, A&M probably had a good shot to double dip them and still
Yeah.
win it. But, like, they would have been in the driver's seat. And if they would have got out of that regional, the Super Regional would have been hosted in Austin, not in Eugene. So, like, it was very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, both of our teams are out of it now, so
Yeah.
we got
And our
softball to
other
look
two
forward to
teams are fighting
tonight.
for the national championship.
Yeah. That's a good place to be in the other
What's your
league.
lock of the week this week?
It is Luka over 8.5 assists.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, I'm
Game
going
one.
Mavs +6.5 tomorrow night.
Game
I think
one.
it's going to be close. And, like, if it's a close game with 5 minutes left, like, even if they lose, I definitely think they're going to cover 6.5. Like, I feel like that's a pretty good amount of points.
Kind of
We're
off
going to need
topic
the
here.
role players to show up and hit some big shots. And obviously, Luka and Kyrie are going to have to be ready to go.
Yeah, we definitely need the role players to hit their shots just because I got a feeling the Celtics are going to blitz Luka on every pick and roll and try to double him. So that we're going to need somebody to hit some
The
shots in the
other
corner
three on the
once the
court
ball
are
is
going to have
swung
to
to
be
him.
ready, and they can't let the moment get too big for them. It's just basketball. You've been doing it your whole life. Like,
Yeah.
I do feel like Kyrie in the locker room is going to have a good presence and let them know, And I like I'm not ever worried about Luka being nervous on the road because the road environments he played in Europe were a lot more crazy than the ones he'll see in the NBA.
And I'm not nervous about Kyrie playing on the road
yeah,
either.
Yeah, me either. That's what, but I want to see him get the make sure that the other players' minds are right.
Yeah. We got some dogs though.
Yeah.
If we got the team that can win on, I mean, we've won a ton on the road this postseason run, but
yeah.
We definitely have the squad to win games on the road. They've got a good mentality.
I would agree.
But yeah, I guess I'm gonna go with Luka. I think he gets 9 assists. I think he has a triple double.
That'd be nice game one triple double.
Yeah, be a nice 30-point triple double in the Mavs dub. That'd be huge.
All right, anything else you want to talk about?
No, nothing. I think we're good. I think we covered our bases till next week.
Yep, see you guys next week. See and go Mavs.
Go Mavs.